Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's what I'm all about. Just burying people and saying just really offensive things.
Well, I guess now's a good time to say it. Hi, I am Adriel Pearl, and it's Spifle.com. Speedball Mike Bailey's here, TNA Wrestling. We're in Las Vegas. You would know because of the wonderful, gaudy backdrop I have just for y'all. Hi, Speedy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I never know how to address you anymore.
I have real names. I have fake names. I have real and fake variations on my fake name. I feel like a genius because I came up with the perfect, speaking of fake names, Starbucks name.
Oh, let's hear it.
Peanut.
Peanut.
So here's why.
Okay.
In theory, everyone knows how to spell peanut.
In theory.
Right? And it starts with that hard P.
Yeah.
So when they announce it and they go, peanut, it's not like, if you know, Adam is a bad Starbucks name because it'll go, Adam, and it starts with that soft A that kind of goes up. But peanut is that hard P that's very recognizable. And, like, I can't go Mike on at Starbucks because there's too many mics.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever order, there's going to be five other mics. They're all going to look at each other going, is this my order? Right? Peanut, it's very unlikely that there will be another peanut waiting for their drink. Though the first time I tried to use it, the cashier wrote down peanut, and then the person read it as peanut.
Peanut. Once again, in theory.
In theory. It's a great Starbucks name. But so, it's worked well since. I haven't had any issues. I tried Lawson for a while just because that was a pretty unique name and it sounds recognizable.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't mistake it for another word when you hear it, but turns out Lawson is too difficult to spell.
But peanut is fine to spell. It's hard to pronounce.
It's recognizable. People have seen peanut written plenty of places.
Oh, yeah. How did we get to peanut?
Names. Called me Speedy?
Well, no. I'm in this interview, I know. CTE is not my problem yet. But how did you get to Peanut as the Starbucks? Like, did you workshop it? Did you, like, throwing out names in a car? Like, what do we get here?
So Veda and I had a long discussion about good and bad Starbucks name. And Peanut kind of meets all the criteria.
This is my favorite. The couple question, the couple conversations that you have. So my wife and I will sit down and we'll talk about our day and have these menial conversations about, you know, work and our kid and things like that. And inevitably you'll get to a conversation like the Starbucks drink order or what's on your sub sandwich.
Right. I think there's I'm sure you've seen them, bless them. If that's how they're happy in their relationship, good for them. But the couples who just don't talk to each other, who just like do their separate things and they don't communicate, that's fine. And then there's couples that will have Seinfeld style long conversations about nothing all the time.
I would say those are the best couples to be in.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I chose a person with whom I can have very long conversations about nothing or about something. But the one thing that makes my marriage work is the fact that we are always and from the first time we met, having like seven parallel conversations at once about different things, somewhat related, unrelated, like sub conversation. There's layers to all of it, but we I have no idea how many years we've been together, but have never run out of things to say.
You two are also often working apart from each other.
Yes.
And so I was talking to Steve Macklin the other day, and you know, his wife Deanna recently started working with All Elite Wrestling, and therefore they are going to be apart a little more often. You've been doing that with Veda, with your partner, for quite a while. What's the strength there that comes with working apart from your partner for periods of time?
Well, so the thing is, it's not that hard now.
Yeah.
Like, I talk with people who started wrestling in Japan in 2005 or something, and you had to go to an internet cafe to send over emails, and it was a whole mess. But now, like, we can talk on video chat for hours, and it's very easy, and there's Wi-Fi everywhere. But now is not, like, now that we live together, we're allowed to be in the same country and share a space. It's very easy. When it was difficult was when I couldn't come to the U.S., and Veda lived in the U.S., and so we would, you know, organize our lives and our jobs and our travel in order to be able to be together for several months. But then on the flip side, we were then like, we'd spend 2 months in let's say England together all the time, working together every weekend, sharing a room in an Airbnb, but then we'd be apart for 2-3 months, right? Which is a lot more difficult than what we're doing now, which is just like kind of being apart on the weekends, on some weekends. Because we do still work together a lot, which is great. But being apart for like 2 to 3 months, you figure out ways, you find tricks to make it work. And we just like would communicate constantly, take pictures of everything and send it over and have very many, very long conversations on the phone, which was always great and never bothered me. Again, it's very easy now. But now that we're together a lot more, it just feels like a blessing altogether. The fact that we're able to eventually get to the point where we lived in the same country, that's a huge victory.
Yeah, I can imagine. And especially when you're both, you know, out west on a weekend like this, right? Veda was working for New Japan doing the Battle in the Valley, and you were, you know, a few hours down the road here in Vegas for Hard to Kill and for Snake Eyes. How was TNA? How was the weekend for you? Let's dig into that a little bit. You had a busy and in some ways unexpected weekend. You lost your tag partner, Trent Seven. He was unable to make it due to travel. You were given a replacement, Laredo Kid, someone you're very familiar with from Impact Wrestling at the time, now TNA. Talk to me about the process. When did you find out that Trent was out? And when did you get word about Laredo Kid? And just what was the conversation like that?
But yeah, so you said a lot of things.
I do.
In that question.
Yes.
I must address. But yeah, it was a great weekend for professional wrestling altogether. It was fantastic for me and Veda doing commentary on a sold-out Battle in the Valley, and me sold out Hard to Kill. And Hard to Kill is when I debuted for Impact 2 years ago.
That's right.
In a match with Ace Austin, Chris Bay, and Laredo Kid.
The history.
To have them be in that match as well for my TNA debut was very, very cool. I found out about Trent, which was very unfortunate, very excited. Love Speedball Mountain as a concept and the imagery, and I think Trent is incredibly intelligent about pro wrestling, like way beyond what people understand. So I love Trent. I was very excited to team with him, but getting to team with Laredo Kid again was, again, brought it back full circle a little bit more, and I didn't find out until basically I got to the venue. So, but that's pro wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And while you were unsuccessful in your bid for the tag titles, once Trent is back, can we assume that the two of you will be going after tag gold in TNA?
I would like that, but to be honest, I have no idea. Because again, it's TNA, total nonstop action. It's always moving forward, always changing. You never know what to expect. But yeah, I would love that.
Let's go back to the Impact days, which really was just back in December at Final Resolution in Toronto. There was a moment going back to Trent Seven when he signed his contract. This was a situation, a scenario that you were very familiar with, signing your contract on the back of Josh Alexander in the Don Kolov Arena, where they had just done a Destiny show. Am I correct?
Yes.
And now we're here at the Don Kolov Arena for Impact, their final Resolution show, their final Impact branded show. And out comes Scott D'Amore. And we have basically the same tradition continuing where Trent Seven signs a contract on your back.
Which is also where Josh Alexander signed his Impact contract, originally also in the Don Kolov Arena on Scott D'Amore's back.
That's right.
So, again, it's just those little things, the significance of the Don Kolov Arena within Impact and TNA. And it just makes it feel special. I love being able to say, and I love talking about it in the lead up to our hour-long match, Josh and I, that I literally signed my contract off of his back. And that's just a little part of the history there that I'm sure is going to keep going for many, many years. And again, even though he and I haven't shared a ring in Impact and TNA since that match, I mean, he and I were the two that were chosen to go up against Will Ospreay.
Yes.
Right? And we both came up short in those first matches. So there's another one that just happened. That was absolutely fantastic. That you'll have to wait until it pops out on TV to know the result, or you can just Google it. I'm sure you guys posted the results.
We may have posted the results, but
ruining it.
It also came with
spoiling it.
I'll pull back my curtain. I refuse to put spoilers on my Twitter in real time.
Right.
I want people, if they're so inclined, they can go find them. I think if you're going to find them, that's one thing, but I'm never going to try and spoil a show outside of what was advertised or what is maybe being set up. So, for example, Nick Nemeth comes out. We'll talk about Nick in a minute.
Yeah.
But I was able to say, because they promoted it, this was Nick's first match in TNA, his first match since leaving WWE.
Yeah.
And he had a match that was advertised against Zachary Wentz from the Rascals. So we were able to promote that, and we were able to put that out there. I'm not going to tell you the result. Let people find that for themselves.
Right. But back to me, Josh, the fact that we were two selected to go up against, you know, the best wrestler in the world, Will Ospreay, really means a lot. And I think that's just the continuation to a story. I think Josh and I have so much more. And I think that's the beauty of pro wrestling, is that you have all those stories that move along concurrently. And now the big question is, who's going to be the next person to get signed, to sign their Impact contract or the TNA contract?
We're all learning again.
Right? It's hard. On the back of Trent Seven in the Don Kolov Arena.
Were you kind of given any heads up ahead of time that this was going to go down, that Trent was going to have that big moment with Scott and yourself in the ring?
I was not.
You were not. So this was a surprise to you.
Complete surprise. Full surprise.
Okay. That's a moment. I mean, the crowd was definitely surprised, and happily so. It was a big definitely. One,
yes. And I felt bad for Jake Something and Jason Hotch, who went out right after, had a fantastic match.
Yes.
But the audience was just a little bit burnt out from that moment.
Speaking of Jake Something.
Yes.
By the time this interview airs, the plan is that the match will have aired as well.
That's right.
Let's talk about the X Division 6-way.
Yes.
That occurred at Snake Eyes. Yourself, I'm going to forget someone along the way, but yourself and Jake Something were in the match.
Yes.
Athiel DiVikingo was in there. Was that your first time with Vikingo, or have you worked with him before?
I have worked with him.
You have.
We had a singles match at Joey Janela's Spring Break in Dallas.
That's right.
Which was my second to last match that year, when I did 11 matches that weekend. That was number 10. The match number 10 was a singles match with Hijo del Vikingo, which is crazy, where I debuted my indie flaming Tajiri pants. Which was a great moment for me and no one else. And then we had a triple threat match, me, Vikingo, and Jack Cartwheel for Demand Lucha.
Yep, out of Toronto.
And then I faced Vikingo, Daga, and Jack Cartwheel for the AAA Mega Campeonato at Triple Mania in August of last year.
Okay, so you are very familiar.
Very familiar.
Very familiar. And so that's three. Kushida, of course.
Yep.
Laredo Kid. Who am I forgetting? Trey Miguel. That's six. My God, I did it.
You did it.
My brain is still going.
Well done.
Let's talk about that match real quick, because it's high flying. It's X Division. How does it feel to know that not only in TNA is the X Division fully back,
yes,
but to be one of the first people, competitors, to be part of the new X Division and the high-flying nature of it.
And to be the first televised TNA match.
That's right.
Since the return. I think the match was a perfect showcase. I think you've got six of the best high flyers in the entire world. I mean, excluding Jake Something, who's not a high flyer, but still, like, it's a joke, right? The X Division is not about... It's about no limits.
Yeah,
right?
It's not about weight limits.
But I think, no, like, limits. Samoa Joe stylistically, like, embodies the X Division, and he's still able to go fast-paced, and his wrestling style is complicated, it's exciting, it's intricate, and I think Jake Something is the same way. He is, and if you saw in the match, him and Hijo de Vikingo were just fantastic together. He is literally the perfect foil to someone like Hijo de Vikingo. Yeah. So that chemistry works weight, and then works super well, and then there's, like, Kushida with the impossible wealth of experience and, again, just intelligence beyond belief. And, yeah, it was just the perfect match to showcase. Total nonstop action. You want total nonstop action? Here it is.
We spoke to Kushida on our show In the Weeds on Fightful Overbooked, and we asked him about the fact that he is a tenured wrestler. He's been in the wrestling industry for, if not 20 years, then over 20 years. He has the experience, but in TNA and in Impact, he's relatively new. And we asked him about whether or not people, wrestlers, talent, come to him for any advice. And he had said no. So for yourself, you have a lot of experience yourself in the wrestling business, and you are still relatively new in the Impact TNA roster. Is there anyone that you go to for advice backstage at TNA?
I think everyone goes to Alex Shelley.
Yeah, it right. seems to be the going, yeah. the going name.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it's an obvious one. Why wouldn't you? Chris Sabin as well, who works as an agent as well.
Yeah,
is incredibly knowledgeable, and he's been in TNA forever. He knows how everything works, and you can always refer to him. But you know, there's a lot of people that you don't go to directly for advice, but by working with them, you just get a lot. But one of my favorite things to do backstage at any wrestling show, but especially at Impact, is just kind of listen to people backstage and see how they go about their things. And I feel like I always learn so much from that.
This is a bit of a pivot, but recently everyone's year-end awards came out. And there was one tweet that I saw from you that I think was very, very interesting and well put. And it was about the concept of underrated wrestlers.
Okay, yes.
No, we're not. Come on. We bury people later in the show. We were talking about underrated wrestlers, and I'm paraphrasing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you had essentially said a lot of the people listed are talent who are very talented, yes, and are receiving TV time and maximizing their minutes. Yes. What makes them underrated in the eyes of these voters?
Right.
So,
it's
let's
kind
elaborate.
Of a,
yeah.
It's kind of a catch-22, as I said, right? In order to be voted most underrated, you kind of have to be pretty well rated. Like, I don't feel like I'm underrated at this point. I feel like maybe, like, underutilized is even a worst word. I mean, I don't think anyone on the list is underutilized, and I don't think that, I think I'm rated very highly, right? Like, by most people who know me, of course, I don't reach audiences as broadly as, you know, John Cena or Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns or whomever yet. But that doesn't mean I'm underrated.
So what are you?
I mean, I don't know. I'm very well rated. In that regard, I don't know. I think every, like, I look it up, right? You try to find research and hear feedback from, like, people on the internet, and like, the people like my matches. People enjoy them. I mean, from the, like, Dave Meltzer loved my match with Will Ospreay.
That's right.
I mean, as he should. It was a great match. Audiences did as well. I think it's all fair. Well, I think I'm a very good wrestler. I think I put on excellent matches, and I think everyone who sees them knows that. And even if they, like, they don't prefer my style, they appreciate the effort that I put behind every single match. I think that comes through no matter what. If you want to talk about people who are underrated, you really have to look outside of the United States, mostly. Like, I don't want to name names.
No, I did that to you once. People who are underrated.
Because, well, I mean, I want to name names, but I want to spend 4 hours naming every single name of all the wrestlers that you should know that are just as good as the people who are on TV. They were just born within the wrong lines, and so you don't know about them. I think, like...
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because I had a match with him recently, and because he came up, Aigle Blanc, who's from France, who just did a tour with All Japan and early in his career went to Mexico, but it, and just had a match with Mustafa Ali that I paid very close attention to in for APC in Paris. And he is absolutely fantastic, completely world-class, just doing amazing, but still wrestles mostly in Europe and doesn't get seen nearly as much as other people by major audiences. I mean, yeah, there's just so many guys out there. It's shocking when you go to places like Singapore, where wrestling is like growing and evolving slowly. And there's promotions like, I did a seminar with Grapple Max many years ago, and they didn't even have a ring then, because it's hard to get a ring in Singapore. We did the seminar and a show on mats, and there was so much great talent, and they've gotten a ring and they've evolved since then. And like, so many people that if you just put them in America, people would be like, oh yeah, why isn't this guy, you know, making millions of dollars through pro wrestling? To me, that's someone who's underrated.
That's fair. I like that. I like that answer. I wanted to ask about talking about no rings and no ropes, something that you've been doing on your Twitch channel. You did, remind me of the name again. It was a Fighting Mania?
No, it was something else. Fightertainment Spectacle.
Fightertainment.
It's Fightertainment. It's not professional wrestling.
No.
No relations. Some similarities, very few, but no relations. It's certainly not professional wrestling. I've been doing Twitch wrestling shows since, honestly, the end of the pandemic, when I started streaming on Twitch during the pandemic, which you know, kept me going. And kept mostly by because I wanted to keep that connection with my audience, and I didn't want to just go away for what seemed like an eternity at the time. So I started doing wrestling shows live on Twitch. There was a lot of wrestling that was just like being aired on Twitch, right?
Right.
But if you know Twitch, it's all about the interaction. It's all about like having that back and forth between the chat who's watching and whatever's happening on screen. So that was my idea for the first one, and that evolved from just doing a show where Veda was hosting, and it was just a Zoom call with me doing some matches in the ring. And then we started doing, that was Friday Night Speedball.
Yep.
And then we moved them to Animal Above Anger, Lethal Comics Comic Studios on judo mats there, and kept it going for 7 or 8 episodes, I don't remember. And now we're doing them at Pilger Rue Brewing in Pottsville, PA, with an actual audience, which is a brewery that's partially owned by Tony Deppen.
That's right.
And we put mats down, and we fight or tame.
That's that's the love of creativity when it comes to fighting or to wrestling or to entertainment. This is,
let's say, you can just fight or taming.
Fight or taming.
Yeah.
So this kind of brings me back to not only when you're watching matches and the matches you have, wrestling is entirely subjective, and everyone has what they love about professional wrestling. What do you love in your professional wrestling matches? Not the ones you're having, but the ones that you're watching or the ones that you're paying attention to. What stands out to you? What makes you happiest when you're watching it?
Before I give you that answer, I'm going to disagree with you about the subjectivity.
Okay.
And I think that, like, this is a thing that I don't think it's talked about enough, but there is such a thing as an objectively good wrestler. I mean, there's subjectively good. You can be very good at accomplishing a certain task, getting over in front of an audience, but there are plenty of objectively good wrestlers that will be able to succeed and entertain an audience in any situation at all.
Okay.
Which is not always the case. And I mean, I kind of said this earlier, but I really believe it. I think in all art, all facet of entertainment, nothing will come through like effort and passion. And I think regardless if you know anything about what you're watching, if there's effort and passion, like human beings will be able to capture that and understand that. Which kind of answers my question about pro wrestling. And I like people that care, have put a lot of effort. I mean, that happens in so many different facets. But I hate like putting wrestling within a box, and I think people do too much, and I think that's why I'm so passionate about something like fightertainment. Like I think good pro wrestling works in any situation, and it can happen in so many different ways and still be enjoyable as long as the people doing it are cognizant and mindful of how can we make this the most enjoyable experience possible for our audience.
So I'll push back a little bit when at least when I talk about subjectivity, it is about the level of entertainment and the level of enjoyment that a fan might get from the wrestling or the fightertainment that they're watching. And everyone's going to expect and interact with it differently. A match that goes, we make a joke on In the Weeds, right? Any match that's over 17 minutes is just too long. When we don't really feel that way because we're telling a story within time. But for some people, a match that's 30 seconds long might be the best thing ever because it told its story like that in 30 seconds. But then some tell their story in 90 minutes. So this is the question of subjectivity. It's everyone. This is talking about the box.
Uh-huh.
The box grows and shrinks. The goalposts move because the presentation is different.
Your enjoyment is subjective.
Yes.
Everyone's enjoyment is subjective.
Of course.
However, there is an objective reality of this match, this show, this product is meant to accomplish this. And how well did they do that? I think there is a ton of extremely unjust criticism towards very, very high level wrestlers. I'm not going to name names.
We don't need to yet.
Who are like perfectly accomplishing their tasks. Whatever they're asked to do, they are killing it. A triple plus in that. But if you like small show independent wrestling and you don't want what they do, you're not going to like it, which is fine because it's not for you. It's very often for a much broader audience with other concerns. And that's what, like, to have criticism to any kind of like rating system is kind of silly. That was my one thing about like Dave Meltzer's star rating. I will move along to the movie Bounty Hunter. Have you seen that?
Not in a very long time. So right? let's catch the audience up.
It's Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler, and there's a bounty put on Jennifer Aniston. I don't remember why, but Gerard Butler is the bounty hunter, so he chases her, they fall in love. It's fucking 80 minutes or however long. Like, there's gonna be some bad jokes, they're gonna kiss at the end, everyone's gonna go home happy. You look online, they go, ah, that movie's bad. But what did you think? What were you expected?
Right.
The movie like is perfect for what it is. It should, like, Jennifer Aniston, Gerard Butler, Bounty Hunter, rom-com. There you go. You have it. You kind of imagined a movie. There it is. Delivers perfectly. I feel that way about a lot of matches, like opening matches, six-minute opening matches where they just, like, they had 6 minutes and they used them perfectly and they got the audience exactly set up for the rest of the show and they did exactly what they needed to and people are like, it's just an afterthought. Where really that, like, that part is just as difficult and important to achieve and succeed at than having a great 90-minute match.
Okay. I'm hearing it. I'm seeing it. And to a certain degree, I'm agreeing with it.
Right?
Yeah.
To what degree are you not?
No, you know what? I don't even think there's much in terms of a disagreement. I'm always trying to internalize my view of professional wrestling and the view of someone who maybe is watching it in their first year,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is, That's something that I get to enjoy on our post shows, right? I've been watching professional wrestling since I was a child.
Oh my God, yes.
But then I have a co-host, Cressa Starr, who has been watching wrestling for a very long time, but maybe hasn't watched any Impact or TNA in her life, and now she's being dropped into this world completely anew. And so for her, it's catching up on the history while also getting a passionate view of the show that we're talking about. And I try to view that and rearrange it with my own viewpoint with an audience that is also like in between.
Nothing drives me insane. Like, I talk to pro wrestlers, right, who have been lifelong, you know, pro wrestling fans, and go like, oh, do you follow the UFC closely? And they go, not really. I was really into it for 2 years, but then I fell out.
Right?
Do you watch UFC?
Not really. It's one of those, if it's on, I'll kind of put it on the other screen.
But that's how most people watch pro wrestling, especially the like bigger shows that play to the biggest audiences. So criticism, like, oh man, they're just rehashing the same stories over and over. Yes, because those stories are good for the overwhelming majority of the audience that hasn't been watching for 15 years and doesn't like tweet about it or talk about it or are in a Discord chatting about it and breaking everything down. Like, that's 90% of the audience. And I think people really like misinterpret and misunderstand that. When I'm wrestling, that's something I'm extremely mindful about, is making my matches for like as many people who are watching as possible. You'll never be able to please everyone, but I want my matches to be good for the people that know me and are expecting something different. And I also want my matches to be enjoyable for the people that are seeing it for the first time. Which is especially in independent wrestling, one of the biggest issues, which are very little. Independent wrestling is fantastic right now. But is that disconnect between who the audience actually is and what they want, and what the performers want to put on as a show.
I feel like I'm already getting your seminar without going to your seminar.
Oh man, it's gonna be a lot of that, but it is.
Yes, and this is a positive thing that I'm saying, by the way.
Right.
This is a wealth of knowledge that you get to bring to talent who are working in the independents right now, and maybe have an opportunity to learn and grow with it. Because you're right, the independents they're different than they were even 10 years ago.
Right.
And I know that when I go to an independent show, it always depends on where and when. But I see a lot of families. I see a lot of kids. And I think it's a lot of fun. And then you have to work accordingly to that. You're not going to want a bloody war on every single match.
No.
Or swearing on every single, want to be family friendly. To a degree, how much of that, in your opinion, is on the promoter or the showrunner? And how much of that comes down to the talent putting together their matches in a setting like the one I'm describing?
It's a lot of both. I think it's different things that like are promoters and wrestlers' responsibility. But I think it's all one and the same. Ultimately, it's the show and everyone has their input, and there is not, a huge power dynamic in independent wrestling where the promoter just has a say and that's it. I think most independent shows, or at least the ones I work at, the good ones, there's a collaborative spirit and everyone kind of gets their input and works together to make the best show possible.
Macklin and I were talking a bit about the locker room in TNA, and we're talking about the good ones, and you don't hear much about the TNA locker room being in peril, disarray, having issues. What do you think attributes to something like that? You're there. I'm not asking you to spill the tea, but I am curious, because this is a locker room that always feels a little more tight knit compared to some others.
I don't know, but it is very good. And I think that stuff kind of trickles down. I think management is helpful and upbeat, and everyone is civil to each other. I also think the schedule helps a lot. I think the freedom helps a lot. Something I love about working for TNA is that I also get to do independent dates with, relative freedom and help bring people to TNA from those independent shows. But the fact that it's with the limited schedule, and this is kind of how it is, everyone gets a turn, right? There's no, these are our main guys and you're just, low echelon. Everyone's going to get a turn. Everyone has the freedom to show what they can do and then moved up. And then, I was, a very small part of a very loaded match at Hard to Kill. But also, I got at Bound for Glory, I was put in a, you know, highly touted, very featured singles match. And I think that's kind of how it is. And I think having that confidence and that freedom, I think it's confidence in the management that, you know, you'll get your turn eventually.
See a lot of, as we start to wind down, Scott D'Amore comes out to a crowd and speaks very passionately. Is that, you talk about trickling down from management, is that something that you get from him as well backstage? Not necessarily screaming promos, but more the passion and just the way that Scott interacts with the locker room. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely. Ultimately, it's his show. And he loves what he does. Probably too much, potentially too much. He is incredibly passionate about making TNA the best thing ever, and he's worked tirelessly. And I'm sure you can see from when he initially got the role to what we are now and what we've been showing at Hard to Kill. I mean, it's been moving forward. It's been growing, even in just the 2 years I've been there. And I think Scott D'Amore is directly to thank for that with his passion and attitude. And I think that all trickles down.
I'm sure you've been asked 100 times, 2024, Speedball's year. What does it look like?
It's better than 2023, which was pretty crazy. Like, again, this is another thing I said in a tweet, but 2015 was the first time people in the U.S. were saying this was my breakout year, right? And 2016, 17, 18, 19, so on. 2022 was my breakout year. 2023 was my breakout year. 2024 again. But it's just my biggest accomplishment in wrestling is making every single year better than the last. And I've made it very difficult for me to achieve that once again in 2024. And I'm not sure how I will, but I will.
Maybe another match with Will Ospreay.
Maybe 10 other matches with Will Ospreay.
Hey, sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit.
Speaking of which, now we got to bury somebody.
Okay.
We're in like this weird looking space. Can you bury Steve Maclin for a minute? Don't tell him I said it, but like, I know. Peek behind the curtain. We had a very nice chat. I actually came around a little bit on him. We can still bury him though.
Oh man. I wish I could bury Steve Maclin.
Right.
I can't. I can't.
I know. Is there anyone in TNA that you can't bury? Everyone seems to bury Moose.
So, no, I can't bury Moose. And he's the last person I went to.
Jay Chung buried Moose to us. Miguel did it.
So, again.
Tommy Dreamer did it to Mark Hoke on his show.
Everyone does. And that's why, like, Moose is the last person I want to bury. Because Moose is incredibly talented. Moose is a sweetheart. Moose. Often to his own detriment, always gives 110%. And there is no way to stop him.
Well, he is the TNA world champion now.
For a reason.
Well, Speedball, please plug everything and anything, and we'll get out of here.
At Speedball Bailey on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, twitch.tv/SpeedballBailey. I'm on YouTube. I post vlogs and the like. I have a nice behind-the-scenes Hard to Kill vlog that I posted as well. If you're still riding that Hard to Kill buzz, check that out. But mostly, if you like this interview and are interested about anything, go and just go to YouTube, type in Speedball Mike Bailey, watch a match or two. One of my favorite things about working for TNA is that they put so much content up for free. Go and watch it and share it if you like it.
2024, Year of Speedball. We'll see. So far, so good. I'm Matt Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Hello. Do you have a limp penis? A difficulty getting it erect? Boy, do I have a product for you. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL will help fix that. BlueChew has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. But they work a lot faster because it's a chewable. It's also much more affordable. Use that promo code FIGHTFUL. Get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. One of the best parts, it's discreet. No awkward in-person doctor's visits. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door when approved by an online physician. You want to check this out. It will help you. It is a good product. It will make your sex life better. BlueChew.com, the code FIGHTFUL.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app.
Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.